Let's just greet each other.
Huh? Right? Hallelujah. Okay. Good. Praise God. I love when we gather each other. That's the purpose of all this also, right? Fellowship. Fellowship, the church being together and sharing together the blessings of God. Welcome. Welcome to all the visitors also. Appreciate it. God bless everyone. Today we're going to do pretty much the same thing that we did last weekend. We're going to praise God for another testimony really quick, because we like to see and listen and learn about what God is doing in the life of people. And that's a great blessing that we can see what God is doing, and also having in mind that He can also do the same thing for everyone. There's no speciality of, I'm a special person or anything like that. No. You know, God have a heart for everyone. He loves everyone, and He will do miracles and everything for everyone. And today is going to be another great day to share a testimony really quick. And I want to ask our sister to come over and share that testimony with us today. Becky, please, welcome. Why? You think it was you? Without telling you?
Well, you all know you were praying for me because they had found a lump, and I knew it was there. And we'd done testing, and it was just my yearly testing, and the doctor calls me after 5 o'clock and said, well, it's abnormal. And I'm like, okay. Well, I'm thinking, telling Dewey, and I said, yeah, you know, I've had one abnormal before, but it was due to error of the technician. So it was like, okay, we'll go back, it'll be fine. And he goes, do you know what they're talking about? And I knew the spot he was talking about. And it was like, yeah, I know. And then the next day, the nurse, I'd had cancer in 2000, and the nurse from my cancer doctor calls me to tell me it's bad. You have a spot. We have to look at this. We have to do more testing. And if that wasn't good enough, a few hours later, the doctor who had done my original surgery calls me. And at that point, I'm just sitting there going, okay, God, not this many people have called before. They just had one person call. And it was, you know, you're praying, and I can't get in to get the test. I can't. And it's like, well, I want to do it now. I'm off this date. Let's get it done. And everybody kept telling me, well, we could do end of March into April. And I'm like, God, I can't wait this long. And, you know, because it weighs on your mind. And what was really bad is in 2000, they got negative margins when they did my surgery, which means, okay, we got all this, but it involved my glands. And the doctor told me it could travel through my system. And Satan used that a lot to tell me it's traveling. And I said, God, I got to get in sooner. I call. And of all people to get, Kathy answers the phone. And I've been asking for a sooner date. And Wednesday came up. She goes, well, I got this. She told me it was in the afternoon. I said, I'm taking it. I'm telling my boss I'm taking off. I'm taking that appointment. So I know God put Kathy there to help me to get this appointment. So Dewey takes off work, and we're getting prepared, and we go in, and we've been praying and praying. And the Sunday before, Justin had invited us, come to church with me. And we went to church with him. And the message the pastor preached was to us. The pastor doesn't know us. And so he brought God up and he started talking about how God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And it hit me. In 2000, I was in Egypt. And I came through the Red Sea and I'm on this side. And now, when they got to the bitter waters, 3 days after they got there, they started complaining. And it's like, God, what about this? We got bitter waters. And he told Moses, throw a tree in it. And I sat there and I went, okay, God, I'm going to throw a tree at this. And he brought out how the tree was the cross. So I'm going to throw the cross at this. And then he starts talking about how Miriam started shaking her tambourine and praising God for how he had brought them from Egypt through to the, out of the bondage, out of everything they'd went through. And I said, okay, God, we got this. I almost went back in and asked the pastor if I could borrow his the tambourine to take to church with me. It was like, to the doctor, and I'm just going to shake my tambourine. And so we just kept praying, and we said, okay, God's got this. And Justin actually, we hadn't told anybody. We told Nicole, and we told Justin. And Justin prayed for me. And we've been praying for him for so long, and he's like, no, this isn't going to happen. And he prayed for me. Well, Wednesday we get in there, and they tell me, you're going to meet with the radiologist, you're going to meet with this doctor, you're going to do all of this, we're doing all these tests. And they went through all the tests and they did everything. And then they call you in and then they send you back out to wait some more. And then it's like, okay, we're going to talk. So you're going to come in here. And I said, I need to get Dewey. I said, I need to get my husband. He's in the waiting room. And the doctor goes, no, just come with me. I said, but my husband's here. She says, no, come with me. I'm still in the gown thing and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go further. She sits down with me. And they start explaining away the spot that they had seen. And they had said, this is how it is, that things, tissue had moved over and overlapped, and it looked like a tumor. And I'm like, that's kind of unusual, but this is what they're explaining away. And I'm sitting here going, no, I know that God did this for me. And she goes, we don't have to do any surgery. Everything is going to be fine. And then she looked at me and she goes, and we're going to let you go another year. And I'm just sitting there just thanking God. I'm just like, okay, thank you, God. But I know it was there, because I actually knew it was there. And they explained everything away and they said, you're fine. You don't have to have surgery. You don't have to have chemo, no radiation, nothing. So you were praying and God answered my prayer and your prayer. And it's not there, I'm healed. And I'm healed. So it's like, God did this.
Let's see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Becky. Appreciate it. Praise God. The same thing, right? How we can then now preach after that? It's God glorifying himself over people. So it's amazing. Praise God for all the miraculous things that he's doing, the blessing he's doing, this healing that he's doing. It's amazing. We're going to share scripture, but That's going to cover everything. And thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to sharing that with the church. So we know and we continue having the testimony of people that God is doing something over them. So praise God for that. Hallelujah. Okay, let's start praying and then we can start continue talking about the series that we opened last weekend. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your miraculous things that you're doing, all the miracles that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the weather that we are getting right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we worship you. We praise you for everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you for this time and moment that we are being here together today to listen more about you and to receive your word, and then we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that we're going to apply it, that we're going to receive the strength that we need to continue applying these words, so that way we can continue seeing your miracles in our life. Thank you for everything that you are continuing doing in the church. All the glory is yours. In this moment, like always, God, we ask you to you speak to the church. Not me. Remove me out of the picture. I don't want to talk about my own by my own understandings or knowledge. I want you to talk to the church and continue blessing our lives so that way we can be more like Jesus. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we continue talking about the Living Hope. That's a series that we opened last week. That one, as you guys remember, we talk about the changing the lens, changing the perspective of what we're having in our life, not living with that kind of mentality of the earth, of hope of the earth, which is a hope that is going to be temporary. It's going to hope. It's a hope that is going to just last a little bit. It's not going to be that living hope from Jesus Christ, the living hope that is going to be forever. It's going to be eternal. And today we're going to continue talking pretty much about that topic, but with one in a specific. Let me open with the first Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is the verse of the series. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all these you greatly rejoice, though now a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled in or with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of our souls. So today, we're going to also go in over the chapter 2 of 1 Peter. And having a perspective of context of the story of what's going on over here, Peter is writing this letter to the believers and followers of Jesus Christ in Asia Minor. And then these people are getting scattered and persecuted in that moment. And now Peter is just telling them this topic or this information in the scripture and saying, you are just living with the hope of the earth. You are just living with the perspective of the hope of what's going on right now in your surroundings, which is the persecution, which is that people that is going against and all your principles and being a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's not the living hope that that we want us to provide to you. The living hope that we want you to understand is the one that you have to live in that moment, not look in the past, not look in the future, because the future for you and me is already set. So we don't have to worry about that. And going to chapter 2, we will see and learn some other principles that Peter shared with these people, and I receive a good understanding of how we can apply that word in our lives to receive more blessing from Jesus Christ. So I'd like to go over to 1 Peter, and let's go to chapter 2. Over there, you can see, and I know it's a lot of scripture over here, but the blessing of receiving these, it's amazing. So we're going to try to cover all these really quick, okay? It's going to be chapter 2, and it's starting now. It's really interesting the way that Peter puts the living stone now. Now he's talking about the living stone. Before he was talking about the living hope. And he says, Verse 1, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborns, again, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. And then when we continue reading more, Peter is talking about authority. How we can apply authority in our life, how to understand that we are submitted to authority. So when we understand how to be submitted under the authority of God, then we can follow that authority also here on earth. So now he's talking about living stone. And he say, you, me also, all of us, as a living stone. So he's talking about Jesus Christ as a living stone, the cornerstone. But then he's also referring to us and saying, you also are a living stone. And it is really interesting because the stone, as you guys know better than me, when you are building something or a house or a building, you have to have a cornerstone. That cornerstone is supposed to hold everything in place. Now, if you remove just that cornerstone, everything will fall. Just depending on that one cornerstone, that one corner thing, that piece over there. And also, when we are looking the cornerstone, some of the time, when you are building like a bridge or something, the cornerstone is that piece that is in the middle part holding everything, not necessarily in the foundation. But that's fine. It's just a different application. But if we look at it in that point of view, that is that cornerstone is in the middle of that point over there, the cornerstone, it is on the top. So now you are submitted under that authority, in that cornerstone. And that's why I was asking God, but why these people are stumbling with Jesus Christ as a living stone, and you and me as a living stone also? Because they are putting it on the floor. Because they want to take authority and not leaving him being your authority. Because you're not going to stumble if the stone is up to you, right? The stone, it has to be on the floor. The stone, it means that you are taking the control of everything. That you are taking the authority of everything. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I have the control of everything. And because I'm doing that, that's why we, as a human being, stumble. Because I'm taking the authority and the power under my own control and removing God out of the picture. And now I'm facing that the stone, the cornerstone, it is on the floor because I put it over there. I decide to do that. And that's why we, as a human beings, stumble with Jesus Christ as a living stone, because we are taking the authority. And that's why Peter, in chapter 2, he's telling the people over there, the followers, hey, you are submitted. You're supposed to be submitted under the authority. So when you learn that in your life and in your heart, then you are letting your God, Father God, being your authority. You are under him. You are reporting to him. You are not over him. And that means now that you understand that, now you be in authority over yourself, over your life, over your mind and heart. Because you and me, we know better. we experience so many things in our life that sometimes those situations take control of our life, take control of our mind, take control of our heart, because we let that to happen. And that's taking authority over you. That's the first point that I want to share with you guys today, the authority. Because you have authority. You have control over your life. And I want to go really quick to Matthew 8. Let's go to Matthew 8. In Matthew 8, we will learn some principles about authority that Jesus Christ showed over here to the disciples, to the teachers, to everyone there. Matthew 8, you start talking about healing a man with leprosy. And in verse 2, a man with leprosy came and kneeled before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus Christ is talking. And Jesus Christ said, I want you to be clean. Now, when he continued, now he's having a miracle happening here with the centurion or the Roman soldier or guard, name it, I don't know. And he say over here, the centurion is asking him, "Can you heal my servant?" And he say, "Yeah, I want to heal. I can go over there." And the centurion says, "Don't go home. I don't have the honor to have you in my house. But I know how it is to be in authority. I know how it is to be to send people because you say that. I know how it is to be to call people and they come. I know what is that authority." Man, this is a guy that he's just a Roman soldier. And he showing that big faith at the moment and saying, "Just say the word. I know that if you just say the word, that word will go over there and will heal my servant." And Jesus Christ was really surprised and say, "Wow, that's kind of an amazing faith that I can see over here." And that's the authority that Jesus Christ is showing to us through the scripture and saying, you and me, we all have that authority. And sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we allow the problem, situation, circumstances, past stories, or anything to take over our life and take our authority, and that's controlling ourselves. And we're letting that living hope to kind of go away. And now we're living based on those circumstances and problems in our life, which is taking control of our life, which is authority over us. Not you over those things. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying over here. Hey, you have authority. We have authority. We can continue talking about different miracles over here. Like, for example, the next one is healing many. When he healed the mother-in-law of Peter, he just touched her on the hands, and that's it. And right away, she just started serving him. The next one is also the casting of following Jesus, when also he was calmed the storm. And then all this one, the whole Matthew 8, and also you can go through the first section of 9, is talking about the authority that he has and that we also have in our life. And Jesus restored or calmed the storm. It says the scripture in Matthew 8:25, the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We are going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" This guy, Jesus Christ, he's on the boat. There's a storm happening, and he's just sleeping. He's not getting bothered at all by the storm. Are you and me, are we reacting the same way when we have a storm going on in our life? Sometimes we are kind of react right away. Yeah, sometimes. Right? and that's the point of all this, because we have an expectations of how things are supposed to happen in our life. Because we are not understanding or learning what is a living hope in our life. Because we have the hope on things over here on the earth. Jeanette is not here, right? My wife. Okay, I'm gonna tell something. I know. I already asked her if I can share, and she said, yes, do it. In the morning, over here, the tables were a little bit unorganized based on the event of the tea party yesterday, but that's fine, nothing wrong with that. It's just that I just go over there, take a look, and I look my wife, and I say, hey, Jeanette, the tables, that's it. That's it, right? And my expectation, it is she understood my message. But you say, wow, what do you mean? I say, the tables. Be specific, she say. I say, and then I start asking her. I say, look at the table. What do you think is missing? You know, and it's right. It's expectations. I'm expecting that she's understanding me. She's expecting me to be more specific. And it was just to, that table, it doesn't have the chairs. That table is kind of different to the other one because it doesn't have the. So I was expecting that she was understanding me. And that's the problem with the expectations in our life, because we have expectations of that something is supposed to happen the way that I want to happen, but when it's not happening that way, what is happening in your life? Frustration. You get mad. The same thing happened out there when you're driving. You're expecting that everyone is going to drive the same way that you want to drive, right? And then you have people that cut it, or maybe going too fast, or maybe too slow, and then you are expecting that, and then when you're not facing those expectations that you have, frustration. And you get mad, and you get anger in your life. And that's the point that I want to share with you guys today also. Anger. Because when we are not living the living hope, which is the living hope is His hope, it's not ours, it's not based on here, on the earth, anger is going or fading away of your life. Frustration is going away. Because it's not your expectations, it's not your hope, it's His hope that He already told you that it's going to happen. And now that you're living based on that hope, whatever happened over here on the earth, it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to create any frustration in my life. It's not going to create any anger issues in my life, because it's His hope, and I'm living His hope every single moment of the life. And I believe that's what God wants us to understand through the Scripture. Something that we continue seeing over here in this experience that Jesus Christ have is that they have that expectation. Get up, Jesus Christ. Calm the storm. You have authority. Tell the storm to calm down. Rebuke the storm. You have the authority. You have it in you. I already teach you. I already show you. Don't let the storm control your life. That's why Jesus Christ was saying, you of little faith, why you are so afraid? Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey Him. And I'm here today to tell you that the winds and the storms of our life, including mine, they can obey you. You have that authority in your life. You can control that. It will be a different story, right? If they just over there, Jesus Christ is not there. Just there in the boat, and the storms start going on. And they say, I have authority. I have faith that He told me that I'm going to the other side. That's what the only thing that I have to do, follow His command, follow His words. And that's it. This storm is not going to stop me. I'm not going to let that happen in my life. And the same thing happened in different kind of stories in the Bible. After that one is about the two demons. They were over there on the road. Soon they passed to the other side. He had these two person demon possessed. And then what happened with those? The same thing. How this guy have that authority? Well, because he's living the hope that his father told him to live on the earth. He's not living the hope of the earth. He say, I'm walking this path, and this is not part of the hope of God. Or yes. And then we are kind of trying to live the same way over here right now on the earth. Understanding that that's the teaching that Jesus Christ is doing in our hearts and our mind. Now, the application is the part that sometimes we struggle. Let's go to the story about, I need some help over here. I think it's Jacob and Isa. Isa. Okay, in Spanish it's different. Yeah, that's why. It's like Santiago and James is different in Spanish and English, but that's fine. So that story, what is told to us? That story, we saw these two brothers. They were fighting from the belly of their mom. They were fighting over there. Esau come out first, and then Jacob, he was like holding it. Well, I'm going there. I'm the second one here. What happened? We have these two brothers, and then we have a fight between them, or we have a trickle situation from Jacob to his brother because he wants the inheritance. He wants that blessing from his dad. And we have two different things over here. Number one, we saw Esau that he sold that to his brother just for a meal, a food. He just sold that blessing to him. And then now that his father blessed his brother, now he's kind of frustrated. Why? Why are you frustrated? You sold it, right? You're not supposed to be frustrated, but now that's the expectation that he have. He have the expectation, I'm supposed to get the blessing because I was the first one. That's not what the scripture says. Because if we go to Genesis, let's go to Genesis. Genesis 25. 25:23. The Lord say to her, this is God talking, two nations are in the womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older, this is before they, right? So God already proclaimed something. So take a look of that now and say, okay, this is the proclamation from God. This is a hope. This is a living hope right now. He already says that. That's what's going to happen. But then, like always, as human beings, we decide to do our own will. And then we try to help God and say, well, God says this, the small one is going to get the blessing. Let me help you, Jacob. Let me do something here for you. No, let's wait for God to do the things in our life. And then what happened? They take control of everything. And Jacob stole that from his brother. But in reality, the proclamation from God, it was that that's going to happen anyway. It was going to happen anyway. It's just that it happened in our own will, in our own hopes and expectations. And when that happened, things start going sideways in our life. Because you can see, it creates separation between brothers. Now the brother is really mad, anger. He wants to kill his brother. And now we have that Jacob have to leave his family. Now he never see his mom again. Now he's facing different situation over there with his uncle, Laban. Laban, thank you. He's facing different situations right now over there. And the same way that he was doing, now he's receiving it back. Consequences. Because you took control of the living hope over here from God, and you say, no, it's not the living hope. It's my hope. It's my expectation. Let me help you. After 20 years, then he faced his brother again. And we can see that in Genesis 27. No, sorry. Yeah, 27:43. Let me read that one first. 43. He says, when Rebekah was told what her older son Esau has said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. Thank you. So think about it. Why are you going through all this situation? Just wait for God. Just wait for God's time. Don't try to get that hope or that proclamation from God in your life and try to control it the way that you want to do it. Because we will suffer some consequences that we don't like to suffer. We saw also that Esau became the founder of an enemy nation right now. We can see that. He never saw his mom. I already say that. We also saw that the brother tried to kill him. Also, we saw that he lived away from his family for several years. Now, imagine what will be or have been if God will take control of that. Maybe Jacob will be with his mom until she die. Maybe their brothers will be together. I don't know. It's not written because it didn't happen, but let's let God do what he needs to do. Let's leave the living hope in our life. But how we can do that in our life? Allow him to be our authority in our life. And when we learn that, then we can be or have the authority to control our emotions and our things in our life. That's why anger blinds us and prevents us from seeing the benefits we have. And we focus only on those we don't have. That's why also in the scripture, you can see in Genesis 32, after the 20 years, now his brother is going to start facing his brother. 20 years. Genesis 32. Jacob called the place Peniel. I can try later. Peniel? Okay. So he called that place that name, Peniel, because he had an experience over there with God. Now, before this happening, he sent some presents to his brother before he's going to face him after 20 years, knowing we have some issues over here. We have some problems because me, Jacob, you know what is the definition of Jacob? Yeah. Other cheater or usurper. So that was his name because that was what he was doing. And now he's facing his brother. He's going to face his brother, and he sends some presents to him before, just to be ready. Hey, let me send this presents to my brother. Because that way, maybe I can get forgiveness. And that kind of remember me a little bit of Jesus Christ. Because he came to the earth and then died for you and for me as a present, as a gift for you and my forgiveness. And now say, okay, now we can receive forgiveness. The same thing, Jacob sent the presents so that way he can be receiving some forgiveness. And then after that, it's interesting because then he faced this situation with God. He didn't face his brother yet. He's facing now God. It's kind of a, you are not ready to go in front of your brother until you face God and get transformed. According to scripture, he started fighting with this man. And it was almost to that moment that the sun is going to show up and rise. And he said, I have to leave. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Who are you? What is your name? usurper, cheater. And because you are fighting right now with God, and not in a negative way, just in the transformation, because I know it's hard, it's difficult, the transformation of our life. I have to change you because I'm going to bless you, and the blessing is going to be changing your name. So now that I'm going to change your name, you are transformed and you're ready to face your brother. And it's really interesting. You guys know more than me about the names of the angels. All of them finish with E-L. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, name it. Jacob had two experiences, divine experiences. The other one, they have the ladders, angels going up and down. Bethel, E-L. And then now he have this one, Peniel, E-L. And he says, this is because you are facing God, face-to-face God, face-to-face with him. That's why he called it that way. What does that mean? It means there's nothing right now in front of me and him. I'm exposed. I'm open in front of you. There's no barriers. There's nothing right now. I'm face-to-face to you right now. And I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Okay, I will bless you. Let me change your name. Let me change and transform you, your heart and your mind. So that way, now you can face your brother. Because there's anger right now going on, and the anger is not going to do the will of God. In the scripture, we learn that Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Teaching to you and me how we need to have our hearts. Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance, which is mean anger, at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Are we really doing that? When someone comes to you and say, yeah, you, whatever. Or maybe on the car when you're driving. How is your reaction? That will tell you where we at right now. Or you just like, praise God, we love you. No, sometimes we just reactive. We just react right away in anger. We want to take control of that. We want to take the authority and remove God out of the picture. But when we really understand the living hope, we say, nah, this is not part of what he told me. This is not part of the living hope. His living hope is the one that is eternal. It's solid. If I'm taking control of this anger right now or this situation, that's living the living hope. But then if I'm letting that problem and anger taking control of my life, then that's living my own hope, my own expectations. That's why also Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So you and I, we have the control. 15:18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms and quarrels. 16:14, a king's wrath is a messenger of death, but the wise will appease it. 16:32, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. It's great words. And I'm going to leave you with this too. Ephesians 4. We know this one, right? It says, if you, in your anger, it means we're going to have those moments, don't feel like, oh, I'm in anger right now and I'm in sin. It can take you to that place. But you can control it. You can be compassionate, patient. Don't stir up. Control it. You have the authority. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Wow. James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Praise God. And now, this is the biggest question. I don't know if you asked it before to God. Why you, Jesus, went to the temple, get frustrated, and throw the tables? The man that showed love, the man that showed compassion, the man that heals, deliver, perform all those things, he get mad and frustrated while was going in the temple, what was going to doing in the, or what's going, what is happening in the temple. They were selling, they were doing stuff over there that they're not supposed to do, and he get just frustrated. And I asked the question. I asked God, why? Why in that moment? Why now when you were persecuted? Why now when you were receiving the flagellation? When you are getting beat up or point to death, crucifixions? You was just silent in that moment. Why not over there? Why this moment? And I feel that he put it in my heart and say, because the crucifixion, it was his hope. It was his expectation. The temple, yes. But there's those people over there, they didn't know that. The living hope, the expectation of God, it was to me to go through the cross and die. That's why I just kept silence. I'm not going to say anything. But in that moment, in the body, in the flesh, Jesus Christ says, this is not supposed to happen. This is the temple. In the flesh, he said, no, the temple is not for that purpose. The purpose, it is to be a house of prayer. And now the scripture says that you and I, we are that temple. So don't sell yourself to anything else. Take control, take the authority, and leave the living hope, his hope. His expectations, not yours. And that way you will be not frustrated and live without anger in your life. And in that way you will live with compassion and love all the time in your life. And when something happens, any storm, you already have that faith that his hope is in you. Finishing in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm gonna read 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Because we understood and we learned how is to be living in the living hope. His hope, not yours. Another thing that I was learning about the Hebrew words of anger. It was kind of interesting. It is this. Did you see the tip of your nose? In Hebrew, it's the meaning of that tip of your hose. It's the cartilage. You know, it's flexible. But it's also perfect from him that allows you to breathe. What is happening in your life when you are in anger? And one of the recommendations, it is like, breathe in peace, love, let go all that problems and storm that is happening. It's really interesting that he's using that terminology in the Hebrew words about that. Because the oxygen is why you need to calm down. And remember, he breathed inside of you. His life, his spirit. So that's why you and I, we can control the anger if we're living in that living hope. Heavenly Father, thank you. We worship you. We praise you. We all give you the glory to you. We worship you. We praise you. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you are here with us and that you are transforming and touching our hearts to be more like you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we worship, we praise you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your life. Thank you for everyone here. We bless everyone that is not here today. And we declare in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are doing and living your living hope, Jesus, in our life. And that we understand that we have control and authority over all our hearts and mind, emotions and thoughts. And we are not going to let the enemy to control our life. We rebuke any plans of the enemy. We rebuke any storms in our life. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we declare your glory and your presence over here. Thank you. We worship you and we praise you. And we declare all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus.